which you have loved the world. Thank you for making us benefactors of that love. The love incomparable, the love that the world could never understand, that a sinless man will give his life for a guilty soul. Thank you for that divine exchange that has made us part of your family, that has made us joint heirs with your Son. It's not because of anything that we have done to deserve it. Lord, your love truly is vast, wider than the oceans of the world. We can never know the depths of it. We can never know the height of it. We can never know the width of it, O Lord. But for it, we are thankful. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, Lord. Sunday of the year 2021. By grace have we lived, by grace have we been kept in his love. And as we come to this last Sunday, we pray that we will know many, many more last Sundays as the Lord gives us grace, and as we still have purpose to be fulfilled, may we in hope see the eternal. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I know there's, saw a few people who I haven't seen in a long time. Grandma Ned, Sister Folake, Sister Rajna, Sister Lola. Well, everybody welcome. Without further ado, let's continue from where we stopped last week. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 13, as we continue to look at the mysteries of the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ. And once again, I will remind us of what we learned part of last week, that, and in the weeks before, that these mysteries that have been revealed, it has pleased the Lord to reveal it in this time. These same mysteries that angels, those of old, desired to look into, but it was not revealed unto them. But we, in our own time, it has been revealed to, that these mysteries of the kingdom we are learning, as our eyes have been opened, as our ears have been opened to knowing them, it is a blessing. It is the blessing of the Lord unto us. I will read in Matthew chapter 13 once again. And I'll read from verse 17 to start with. It says, "For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Hear therefore the parable of the sower." And so we should not take these things that we hear, that we see, with levity. We should not take it lightly. The things that angels desired to see, the Bible says they longed to see. The things that prophets of old desired to see. Those who prophesied of the things to come, they desired, when will these things be? And it's been the blessing of God that we are the fulfillment of the seeing and the hearing and the interpretation of those things. The Lord has made us understand them. Last week, we looked once again at the parable of the sower. So people, they call it the parable of the four soils. And today we'll be looking at the parable of the tares and wheat. The parables of the tares and wheat. And we'll go to Matthew, same Matthew 13 from verse 24. We'll read the parable itself and we go to the interpretation of the parable. So we'll take a point there to go to the interpretation of the parable. Matthew 13 through 24. Another parable puts he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruits, then appeared their tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? From where then have these tares come? He said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, will thou then that we go? Do you want us to go and gather them up? But he said, no. Lest while ye gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barns. Gather the tares to be burned up. Gather the wheat into the barns. Let's go further to verse 36. And we'll read the interpretation that the Lord Jesus Christ gave of this mystery. Verse 36 of Matthew 13. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, explain unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The person that sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. The reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this age. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them who do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. So, this is another parable which is very, very closely aligned with the first parable of the four soils, because it's a parable that describes the kingdom in agricultural terms again. This time, it's slightly different,
Because in the first parable that we read last week of the four soils of the sower, the seed that was sown was what? Anybody? The word of God. The seed was the word of God. The soil was what? The heart of men. In this parable, the sower sowing the seed is who? Jesus. Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. The sower here is Jesus sowing the seed. Sowing the seed, the gospel, the good news, sowing the seed. But here, the seed, the good seed that was being sown, was who? The good seed that was being sown. Exactly. The children of the kingdom. That was the good seed that was being sown. And he said that an enemy came while men slept to sow tares in the same field in which good seed has been sown. And in the explanation, Jesus Christ called the tares who? Children of the evil one. Tares, they are plants that are very, very, when you look at them, tares are very similar to wheat. You know that here, what is being sown is good seed to bring in a harvest. What is being sown are the seeds that would, from which people can eat fruit, wheat. Tares are, they are like wheat in look, but when, after the blade has been developed, then you will know the difference between tares and wheat, because one will have the ears of wheat in which the grain, which the meal, which it is. The other, it looks like wheat, but there's no grain, no fruit upon it. But when they are very young, you can't distinguish between which one is which. And so Jesus Christ, when his disciples, or not his disciples, sorry, in the parable, when the workmen of the workmen of the sower, the workmen were the who? The angels. Says when the workmen, they came to him, so what we see here are tares and good wheat, the good fruits and bad fruit, or no fruit at all, just plants that come to choke everything. How come? Okay, let's go and should we go and start weeding, taking out the tares and the wheat? And he says, no, let them grow together. Because in weeding out the tares, you might inadvertently weed out the good fruits also, the wheat also. I was reminded when I was reading this that, do you know something? In Matthew chapter 5, towards the end of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus Christ, in teaching the people, said that God allows the rain to fall both on the righteous and the wicked. Because when a husbandman, or when a farmer goes out and plants, the farmer tends the plant. The farmer will fertilize. But when the farmer fertilizes, the fertilizer is supposed to allow the good, your good crop to be well catered for. But in allowing your good crop to be well catered for, you're also catering for that crop that will be bad crop amongst your field. In allowing water, well, it's not the farmer that will allow rain to fall, but it's God that gives the grace for rain to fall on your farm. But God doesn't discriminate to saying that the wicked will not receive rain. God doesn't discriminate to say that wicked will not eat. God allows every good thing to fall on both the righteous and the wicked. And that is what we see. Let's go to it. Let's so that I'm not quoting anything amiss. Matthew chapter 5. And this was directly after he was teaching that we love our enemies. I'll read from verse 43. Matthew chapter 5 from verse 43. You have heard it. You have heard that it has been said, you should love your neighbor and hate your enemies. That was what was before. You love your neighbor and you hate your enemies. But I say unto you, love your enemies, because that curse, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. I know these are the difficult aspects that some time ago we dealt on. And then in verse 45, that you, when you do these things, that you may be the sons of your Father. Because that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his son to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love the people who love you, and reward, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you more than others? What do you more than others? Do not even the heathen do so? Then he said, be therefore perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. But what he's in that verse 45, he says that we may be the sons of our fathers, that we may be examples of the person who has given birth to us. There's a birth by the flesh. There's a birth by the spirit. To be born of the flesh, every man is born of the flesh. But not everyone is born of the spirit. But those who are born of the spirit, those in whom the Holy Spirit has done something new, for us to become like our Father, for us to be examples of our Father, there are certain traits that have to be seen. My wife tells my daughter that that when we are relaxed, that we curl our toes upon one another. That is how they know that she's my daughter. Because there are certain, there are just traits, things that we do and we are oblivious of us doing it. And it's with everybody. There are certain genetic things, there are certain characters or behaviors that you inadvertently just do because you are born of somebody. When we are born of the Spirit, there are certain things of the Father that we do. And this thing of the Father is that we love our enemies. Because our Father causes both the sun and the rain, his goodness, to fall upon the wicked. So he said in that parable in chapter 13 that he told his angels, let the tears and the wheat grow together. Let them grow together. I am the sower. I'm the one who tends for these. In another part of the Bible, we read that God is not slack concerning his promises. God is not slow. The only reason why the harvest time has not come, because we know that the harvest time, from the explanation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the harvest time is the end of time when the ingathering shall happen. There's something for the Jews, they call it the feast of harvests. The ingathering shall happen. At that time of the ingathering, it is the time when, in another parable, he calls it the goats and the sheep, when they'll be separated. In this parable, he calls it the tares and the wheat, when they will be separated. God is not slack because the ingathering has not happened yet, because God still wants many to come unto him. You remember that Jesus Christ said that God is not delighted in the death of the wicked. What delighted means is that he's happy. God is not happy watching people go to hell. It saddens his heart. And he waits and waits and is patient that many more will come to him. And for that many more to come to him, there is a part that we, as the good seed that has sown upon this world, have to play in this. Because there's a reflection of the Father that we have to show the world. Where the world meets us with hate, we counter it with the love of Christ. Where the world meets us with abuse, we counter it with prayer. Where we pray for those who despitefully use us. It is, you know, we've said it over and over, it is not an easy thing. But it is made possible by the Spirit of God within us. Because that is how we know that we're the children of God. If people do good to us and we do good to them, there's no difference. We're no more than people who are charitable. But there's something that makes a Christian different from the world. There has to be something about us that makes us like God. Because if we are born of the Spirit, what traits of the Spirit do we have? It is not any extraordinary trait for somebody to do good for you and you do good for them. It is no extraordinary trait for somebody to greet you and you greet them back. But there's something extraordinary when somebody meets you with evil, with bad, with ill intent, but you are able to meet the person with good, with blessings, with greeting. Because this is the trait of our Father, our Heavenly Father. This is the trait of the sower. He causes both blessings, the sun, to fall upon the righteous and the wicked. He causes the rain. He blesses the wicked. But there is a day that will come where there will be the end of patience. Because at that ingathering of the harvests, there will be no more mercy. Mercy is only displayed when there is still life. Mercy is only displayed before the time of the end. Remember, this is a mystery. So to those who are listening back then, some will say, oh, it's just a story. You know, this is what it's like. They will not understand the deeper meaning. Even his disciples, he had to bring them into the house to explain it to them. And we remember what we read also last week, that when he was talking about Israel, that some of them will hear, but they will not understand. They will see it, but they will not perceive it. What prophets talked about that? Isaiah. We read it in Isaiah 6. So Isaiah must have been one of those prophets. These things I'm saying, where will it be? When will it come to pass? And at the time of Christ was the fulfillment of those things, because many heard the Lord Jesus Christ, but many rejected him. But there were a few who heard, who wanted to know more. You know that the people who followed Jesus were not only his disciples, well, not only the 12. When we read in the other in another passage that there were women who followed him, who supported his ministry. At the upper room, we read about how many people? 500 before the upper room. We have 120 people at the upper room. At the ascension of Christ, we read about 500 people being there. So there were people who are following him who desired more than what they saw, who desired more than what they heard. It is one thing to hear. It is another thing to pursue. It is one thing to see. It's another thing to desire with the heart. So these people, they heard with their ears, but they wanted more. When Jesus Christ told the parable, was he the one who, first of all, initiated to the disciples that, okay, now I want to teach you? No. It was his disciples who said, Master, please, come and explain this thing to us. Come and explain this thing to us. What does it mean? What are you talking about? It was the same disciples who said that,
You've been talking to everybody in plain word. How come you are now speaking in parables? They wanted to know more. And this should be the disposition of those who are following hard after the Spirit of God. There should be a desire to knowing, to following him, to wanting more, to thirsting. David said that as the deer pants after the water brooks, so does my soul pant after you. There should be a desire for something more than what I have had, what I have seen. I want more. And these were the good seeds. These were the children of the kingdom. They will be like their master. Then he said that there were the tares. As we said, the tares, they are very, very similar to the wheat. They grow, but in them, you can't. There's no fruit to be found. At the end, when they're all grown, wheat will give you fruit. Tares will give you emptiness, nothing. And Jesus said, at the harvest, gather the tares, because everyone is now grown. You can differentiate. Gather the tares, burn them in the fire. Gather the good fruits, the wheat, into my barn. In another place, in the book of John, where he says that the husbandman, he comes and does what? Prunes the vine. The vine that doesn't bear fruits, what does he say will be happen to them? They will be cut off, they'll be gathered into the fire. And he prunes so that the vine that bears fruit will not only bear fruit, but bear much fruit. That is the desire of the Father. And that is what we were talking about last week. It is the desire of the Father that will be fruitful. Fruitful in the things of the Spirit. Fruitful in his working in our lives. In his work of sanctification. In his chastisement. In ministry. Because to every one of us has been given a ministry. If you think you haven't been given a ministry, the ministry of reconciliation is to everybody. The ministry of reconciliation, reconciling men back to God, is for every one of us. At the very end, everything that is doesn't bear fruit will be gathered into the fire. May the Lord make our lives fruitful. This thing about bearing fruit, I cannot say too much of it, because in every place where I come, it's just a repetition. It's something that is very, it's one of those things that is very hot on the heart of the Father. You know, there was a time when Jesus Christ came to a tree. He was going with his disciples. And he said that it was this fig tree. At the time when fruit was expected of the tree, he found no fruit and he cursed the tree. By the time they came back, his disciples said that the tree was dead, had shrunk, shriveled. Jesus is about being fruitful. Being fruitful. A life that is fruitful. Bearing fruit of the Spirit. This is what Christian maturity and character is about. When we say we are growing in the Spirit, what it means is that we are bearing fruit. So, like we read, was it Simi who read it for us last Sunday? Galatians 22, the fruit of the Spirit. We are growing in love. We are growing in joy. We are growing in patience. We are growing in peace. All those things that are born of the Spirit, we are growing in them. Did you love last year? Do you love more? Or do you love less? Are you more joyful? Because Jesus doesn't say because of Omicron, we won't be joyful. No. Because of Omicron, our joy even should increase. What is it? Refrigerators that are meant for fruits,
bodies of people have been stored in it because of Omicron, because of Delta and Omicron. Are we not alive? So why should we not be joyful? Love, peace, gentleness, kindness. We are expected to grow in this. This is the fruit that Jesus wants, that when he comes, he can say that, yes, there's something I find desirous of this life. And it's the same Jesus who is pruning us. Because he said that those he loves, he will chastise. Is this same Jesus who is fertilizing us? Is this same Jesus who will eventually harvest us unto himself? And you know what he says about the harvest when the harvest happens? He says that the children, their glory will radiate, will shine. Let's go to Matthew 13 again at the very end. Verse 43. Sorry, let's verse 42 first. In verse 42, it said that, and shall cast them into the furnace. That is the children of the devil. They shall be cast into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. This is not the desire of God. As much as we can do to bring men into the kingdom, we have to do it. It says there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Verse 43, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Then shall the righteous shine, what? Forth as, please, can you shut that off? Then shall the kingdom Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father who hath ears. Let him hear. Where else in the Bible have we read who hath ears? Let him hear. Revelations. The Spirit is always telling us, because God will never force anything on anyone. It comes with a blessing. The person that has ears, let him hear. The person that has ears, let him hear. Paul said something that I'll paraphrase it. The things that have been stored up for the righteous in the kingdom of God, the things that eventually we will inherit as the children of the kingdom, you can't compare the 70, 80, 90 years of suffering, of hardship, of whatever we endure upon this earth. You cannot compare it to what awaits us. What awaits us in the beauty of the kingdom? What awaits us in the length of time we are to enjoy the beauty of that kingdom? What awaits us in the pleasure of the kingdom? The pleasure of the kingdom of God is not 70 virgins. The pleasure of the kingdom of God is not gold and silver. The pleasure of the kingdom of God is gazing into the glory, into the eyes of Jesus. But brethren, if we have never been satisfied with gazing into the eyes of Jesus on earth, do you think we'll be satisfied with gazing into the eyes in the kingdom? Who will be satisfied if you've never been satisfied with eating eba on earth? You think you'll be satisfied with eating eba in heaven? Well, I'm just using it as an analogy, a bad analogy maybe. What I'm trying to say is that the satisfaction that will be eternal will be a satisfaction that we start cultivating now. Because if Jesus has never satisfied on earth, he can never satisfy in heaven. The pleasure that we have, that we will have in eternity, is an extension of the pleasure you have in spending quality time with him. If you've ever known what it is to pray and not wanting to leave the place of prayer, to praise God and not want to stop praising, you can now magnify that manifold. The pleasures of looking at the beauty of God in his creation and magnifying him, just basking in his glory at the creation, this creation that is mad with sin, for us to see so much beauty in it, how much more the creation that has not been touched by sin. These are the things prepared for the king, for the children of the kingdom. We live on this earth. Now we know 60, 70, 80, 90 years. Maybe you get to 110, 120 at most. Before then, some people knew 900 years of life, 700 years of life. And the life in the kingdom will even be, you cannot compare it to 700 layers. You cannot compare it to Methuselah's life. That is what we have in the kingdom. So, brethren, whatever it will take, bear it. Whatever the hardship is, walk through it. Because some have gone before us that has, they've borne more than we have. Nobody has sown us asunder. Nobody has boiled us in oil. Nobody has thrown us from the mountaintop. Bear it. For a day will come when all what we are bearing will end. And you see, when we say bear it, it's not as if every day from the beginning of our life to the end of our life, we have to bear. No, there are seasons. What we do in those seasons is what matters. May the Lord help us. May the Lord keep us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we give thanks unto you, our Lord and our God, for it is your desire and your pleasure that you have revealed the mysteries of your kingdom to us, your children. Lord, we pray as we are learning more and more about these mysteries, as you've revealed them to us, O Lord, as we see them in your word. Our prayer is not that they will just be stories that were told in the Bible that benefited those who did not mix it with faith. It did not benefit them anything. Lord, we pray that as your disciples called you, that you will explain it to them. We pray for something deeper than just a life of living, working, living, working, and eventually dying. Make our lives, lives that are truly fruitful, Lord, we pray. Help us to grow in the things of the Spirit, to bear much fruits in the Spirit. Lord, help us to be more like Jesus. Your word tells us that when we do such things, we are like our Father. So, Lord, we want to come to the place in life that we have been doing some. We know it is not in our power, but as we submit ourselves to you, as you work within us, that we come to the place, Lord, where we are fruitful, where you look at us and there's something you desire about our lives. There's something you can look at and say, yes, you're pleased with this. This is the kind of life we want to bear, Lord. Like your word is a mirror unto us, make us a mirror unto the world.
Help that our lives will be lives that reconcile sinners back unto you. Let the mysteries of this kingdom be the life that we live, that the people of the world will see and will not be able to explain. Nobody can explain somebody who gives good for evil, who gives blessings for cursing. Make us such people, Jesus, because that is who you are. That is who you are. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Our hymn today will be